to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church for Sunday, December 12th, the third Sunday of Advent. The worship service this morning, anticipation of hearing a little bit later, Paul Adams sharing on the overall Advent theme of God breaks in, and today considering we, like Mary, are God bearers. And as Mary and Joseph experienced God's coming and intervention in their lives, we welcome Jesus Christ, not only this season, but each and every day into our lives, both for the gift of forgiveness and salvation, and also to share in God's presence of ministry in the lives of others. So God's blessing as we share this time together. Number of announcements. There are lots of information in the bulletin, but just acknowledge, while British Columbians continue the cleanup from floods and loss of farm life particular, as well as families who experienced loss, now just recently we hear of the news in the Midwest, United States, the extreme tornadoes that wreaked havoc in many communities there. With a loss of many lives. And so somewhat sensing these extreme weather situations being on the increase, and certainly what the scientific community has continued to say to us, that these are somewhat the result of climate change and the impact human activity has had on that. So as a community of faith, we respond with our own lifestyles, seeking to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Music is such a central part of expressing our Christian faith in song, but also just acknowledge last evening, Alf Redekop and my wife Renata joined a lot of others at the concert hall in St. Catharines. Sharing Handel's Messiah, and to me that's just a real hallmark of expression of faith, both in God's coming, God's presence in our lives, and also the hope and aspirations we have for eternal life, and it was just great to hear that music in person again, and acknowledge somewhat our faith community's involvement in that. We'd just like to acknowledge the flowers on the communion table this morning are in memory of Jake Wilms, husband of Lisbeth Wilms, who died. Today is the 10th year anniversary of his passing. And for him and others of our families, we continue to remember those who have gone on before us. Just in addition to acknowledgement of those in need of our prayers for health and strength, in our wider Niagara Mennonite community, Friday morning, John Giesbrecht of Vineland, there are some connections with our congregation. John passed away peacefully with family at his side, and certainly have experienced John's ministry in different ways for the wider church. One of his passions was the Friends of the Ukraine in terms of ministry to Mennonite people who are still in that part of the world, and as well as many other ventures, John's influence and witness of faith was expressed. Please remember to continue prayers for our search process as a congregation for a new lead pastor, and have shared with council in a sense that this time of year is time when individuals and families consider making a move next summer, next fall already. These things take time, and so invite your prayers for that process, and especially the sense of who that person will be as we anticipate new leadership for the church. Just see if I can turn the page. I don't want to forget anything here. On the insert, there are a number of announcements. In particular, take note of the schedule for Christmas week. There will be service next Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent, and then the way the calendar falls this year, Christmas Eve service on Friday, the 24th, 6:30, and then Saturday, Christmas Day, worship service, 10:30 here. And then through the discussions with leadership, there will not be a service on the 26th, Boxing Day. So Christmas Eve, Christmas Day worship services, and those actually will be the conclusion of our worship services for the calendar year. In conjunction with that, there is a note from Treasurer Alvin Entz with regards to year-end offerings, and just a special note there. Those for whom the operation side of us as a faith community concerns in terms of the financial needs to meet our expenses for the year. And so put that before you and ask for your response to that. There is also a note of appreciation for those who shared the seniors' Christmas banquet last week. And the reason I mentioned that is somewhat acknowledgement. Before and after the meal, we were lax in our COVID protocols. And so I say that just as a reminder to all of us, gentle reminders once in a while that we need to maintain our protocols, particularly with masking indoors, that is important. Distancing is also a good part of that. But certainly you've heard that the COVID illness numbers have been increasing. We hope and pray that those illnesses are not severe. We know, I know actually having been at the hospital this last week, there is a ward here in St. Catharines with a lot of COVID patients there. Those people are in serious health situations. And so we do want to take that seriously as a community. Moving on, Mennonite Central Committee project for Christmas, school kits and hygiene kits. There is a yellow insert in the bulletin, or if you got that by email, a list of kits that you can share as families to put together items that are in need. And certainly there is great need, even more so this year, for that kind of ministry of sharing in the lives of others. Please take note of the details of that. I believe one more. I still have, for folks who saw the documentary Volendam Refugee Story, I took liberty to buy a number of copies of the DVD. If you are interested in that, I have one copy left. And so just a great recollection of that story, and within that, reminders of refugees that are experiencing upheaval today. And so, unfortunately, for others, that story continues. I invite the participation of our Advent lighting, Irene, and then Ingrid and Trish leading in music as we continue our worship this morning.
Is it on? Oh, now, yeah, I can hear it now. Good to see so many of you out here. Okay. Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thus far, the reading of the Word of God.
God's coming to us wasn't just a cosmic or global political matter. God comes right to the heart of our personal lives. God interrupted Joseph and Mary's reality and completely rewrote their life plans. God also brought about a transformation of heart, a realigning of priorities, which launched them on an adventure they could never have imagined. God comes to offer us a new adventure today.
Please join us in reading doing the responsive reading together. So we will start, and then you can join in.
We live in troubled times, waiting for the light of God to burst into our dark world. Rejoice, God is coming to turn us around.
We turn to you with hope and trust. Make us ready to claim and proclaim the good news of your mercy, and ready to turn to others with kindness and grace.
Please join us as we sing While Shepherds Watched.
By night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread has seized their troubled mind. Tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind, to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God's only Son there you will find, for everyone displayed. So simply wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger laid, and in a manger laid. All glory be to
invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, as humble servants, we come before you today in need of hope. There are times when I feel helpless, times when I feel weak, and so I pray for hope. I need hope for a better future, hope for a better life, hope for love and kindness. There are those who say that the sky is darkest just before the light. I pray that this be true, for all seems dark these days. I need your light, O Lord, in every way. Pray to be filled with your light from head to toe, to bask in your glory, to know that all is right in the world as you have planned, as you want it to be. And so help me to walk in your light and live my life in faith and glory through Jesus Christ. This morning we continue our prayers for those who've experienced upheaval due to weather circumstances, particularly those in British Columbia and the southern Midwest. We pray for those who've experienced health issues, loss of loved ones. For those these days in particular feeling a sense of loneliness, gracious God, we also pray as families to share in support of one another for growth and strength, for those dealing with the special issues at school, for all the protocols and things to navigate, for teachers and students. We pray, God, in this time when we want to have gatherings, that those be safe, and at times that's a challenge. We long to be with loved ones whom we haven't seen for some time. With anticipation of celebrating Jesus' coming, we want to open our hearts and minds to your coming to us this day to deal with the challenges we face, to be people of faith, and to share in the lives of one another, to be your presence through Jesus Christ our Lord. These things we pray in his name. Amen.
Please stand as we sing Angels We Have Heard on High.
Echoing their brave delight. Fear not, for the Lord is with you. As the child was born, the angels continued to bring their message of comfort to the earth.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.
God's people said, Amen, Gloria. Thank you, Alvin, for putting together these videos that we're able to view on these Advent Sunday mornings. They just add a tremendous amount to our service. Yes, that's the way it used to be. This is the way it is now. And we rejoice in God's provision, God's taking care of us as a congregation. This is Advent 3. The sign out front says Advent 2, and Pastor Randy is preaching, but he assured me, no, Paul, no, you're preaching today. This is the third Sunday of Advent. What a wonderful day this is. Within the Christian calendar, around the world, there are those who would appreciate that this third Sunday of Advent in particular is the Sunday in which Mary is front and center, the sign, the indwelling of the Spirit of God. This is the Sunday around the world, especially in South America, Mexico, and Central America. It's where they revere the Lady of Guadalupe. The Virgin Mary has special significance on this Sunday. We are indebted a great deal to, I know probably Pastor Randy would defer to Renata, but between Renata and Randy, they put together our Advent readings and the theme that we have been tracing through these Sundays of Advent. So we give thanks to Renata and to Randy for putting this together. Randy said, all I did was edit. Renata, she was the brains behind the outfit. Advent 3, the theme that has been chosen is the divine breaks into the human in more ways than one, we might add. Thank you, Irene, for reading the scriptures from the book, the Gospel of Matthew. That gives to us a little bit of Joseph's perspective on this through the dream. And Matthew chose to draw into his text that passage from Isaiah chapter 7, where it was mentioned, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. I'm not sure if many of you remember this, but it was December the 3rd, 2017. I stood behind this pulpit. I was given the opportunity to preach on that Sunday, and I preached from the Gospel of Luke on that Advent Sunday. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Who remembers me preaching on that Sunday, December the 2nd, 2000? Not too many of you? There's one person in this auditorium who did remember, because I was just kind of ruminating, saying, oh, well, Candy, this is what... I said her name. I said, Candy, this is I'm going to begin my sermon with this particular Sunday. Mary said, may your word to me be fulfilled. That was Mary's response. And Paul said, are you going to preach the same sermon again? And I said, no, of course not. But it's that wonderful theme, those words from the mouth of Mary, that really are pregnant with meaning for you and me today as well. Because, as Pastor Randy alluded to in his call in his opening remarks, we, like Mary, are God bearers. We are indebted this morning to the text of Scripture that has been read to us, because it reminds us of the signs that were given not only to Mary and to the shepherds, but to Joseph. And that phrase that Mary offered in willful yieldedness and obedience, let it be, let it be, were the words that Mary spoke. Let it be. But may I also suggest that they are the words of every child of God who understands that our lives before God are to be those very same words. Both from our heart, from our head, and from our bodies. Let it be. May it be so. For the true child of God understands that there is an infilling of the divine within each one of us, even as Mary was overwhelmed by the presence of the divine in her life. We're going to return to that point in just a moment or two. This truly is one of the most cherished truths that we as Christians celebrate. The Virgin Mary allowing her body to be the vessel for the germination, the growth, and the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior. And then when we read Matthew's account of how and when Joseph responded to the news of Mary's supernatural pregnancy, we find Matthew interpreting these spectacular events as a fulfillment of what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Drawing from these words from the book of the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 7 and verse 14, in the context of that prophecy in Isaiah 7, verse 14, it was God told King Ahaz to ask for a sign. In the ancient world, it was believed, often believed, that there were miraculous births. And Jesus is no different. Not only is Jesus born by means of a virgin, but this one will bear a divine throne name. The divine throne name, Emmanuel. Earthly kings used to say, yes, the divine is in your presence. Bow down and worship me, for I am the king appointed by miraculous birth. In our Matthew reading, we see signs of the supernatural swirling all about us. Underscore that word sign in your mind, because that word will be repeated frequently through the message this morning. There's supernatural swirling all around the Advent theme. A woman who had never had sexual relations with a man is found to be pregnant by the supernatural presence in her life of the Holy Spirit. An angel sent by God to speak to Joseph and tell him not to be afraid. And then this offspring was to be named Jesus, Savior of people from their sins. Signs, signs. Everywhere there are signs. And truly, believer, this morning, the Christian gospel is one of divine supernatural mystery. Who can explain the new birth, the transformation in the lives of the child of God? The signs of a life being transformed is a miracle of God's grace. It's the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. One of the ancient, often quoted, church fathers from the 4th century, John Chrysostom, wrote these timeless words concerning signs and why signs are significant. He wrote, "A sign is something that differs from the normal way things happen. That is outside of the natural way. A sign is so unusual and unexpected that someone who sees it or hears it and sees that it is out of the ordinary. It's called a sign because it is significant. There, I blew it. Significant. It is significant. The sign is significant. A sign is something that differs from the normal way. God is breaking into human history in Jesus. God is breaking into human history, into your history. God desires to break into our lives this day. Some things we simply hold as mystery. Who can explain the virgin birth? That is one of the hallmarks of our Christian faith. Who can explain the transformation in the lives of men and women, each of us? It's the work of God. Who can fathom the depths of the incarnation? Who can fully explain the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Oh, the depths of the love of God for the human race that breaks into our world, that breaks into our lives. Oh, the love of God that he would break into my life and be with me. He, alive in me. Allow this divine truth to flood your own life today, even as the very same Holy Spirit came into the life of Mary, into Mary's life, into our lives. Ponder with me this sign, this supernatural presence in our lives. This is just not simply a quaint story that we set aside the month of December to say. It's not just a quaint story. Get a grip on the aha moment of what it means that we too are God bearers. Ponder with me what I believe is an equally stupendously, was that a dangling participle, Randy? Stupendously? I don't know. I just made that up. Stupendously miraculous event. I would invite you to put side by side. Some people like to use the word juxtapose. Put side by side this great bedrock truth of our Christian experience that here is a text for today. The love of God has been poured into our hearts. Yes, not just Mary's. The love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, Romans 5 and verse 5. And it's in that context that the Apostle Paul assures us, and it's because of that infusion of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that we are transformed. Oh, this is a miracle of God's amazing grace, whereby we have peace with God. I almost feel like a song coming on again. I don't know what's getting over me, but amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That we, like Mary, are God bearers. Yes, as Jesus during his earthly ministry endeavored to illustrate this divine presence, he spoke to Nicodemus by night. We understand that text. And he said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Listen to the words Jesus spoke. "Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." God bearers, you and me, an infusion, an infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a miracle of God's grace. We too bear the imprint on our souls, on our lives, of the divine. And how we look forward to celebrating the sign that we are God's own. How many of you remember the day before an audience of your family and your friends bowed your knee and you received the ordinance of baptism, the pouring of the water, symbolizing the infusion, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. We use baptism to celebrate that. And we take at the communion table, we eat and we drink in remembrance of him. Because of the transformation that Jesus has made in our life, we are God bearers. Would you allow me just a moment, a little bit of foolishness? I once had a middle-aged man come to me when I was serving as a lead pastor in one of our past Mennonite churches, and he came to me during catechism class where we had a number of people preparing for baptism. And this middle-aged man, an old farmer, he said, "Paul," he said, "I've been waiting a long time to be baptized." And he said this with the greatest of care because he knew that we practice baptism by pouring as opposed to immersion. And he said to me, "Paul," he said, "I know that at one point you were a Baptist and you baptized people and you went all the way under." He said, "I want that too." I want to show as a sign that I am a new creature in Christ, that I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And so it was. On Baptism Sunday, we had a number of people being baptized. The auditorium was filled with family and friends, and the regulars were all there as well. One of my dear encouragers, he always went thumbs up, was Willie. Willie was mentally challenged, and every Sunday he would give me a thumbs up. And he was there too. And so the deacons, they went out and they got this cattle watering trough, and they put it right down on the floor, and they filled it up. And this gentleman, Mal, his name was, he came with his shorts and a t-shirt. He gave his testimony. And I know this is unusual, but, you know, he said, I worked as a farmer all my life and blah, blah, blah. And he said, but I have never made a confession of my faith. So after we did the pouring exercises and people were giving their testimonies, Mel got down and I got down. I was standing outside the tank, of course, and he got inside the tank. And we had already prearranged this. He was to get down on his knees, and then I was just to put my hand on his head, and he was to bow forward. Pretty simple. We did it in the empty tank, and so he knew what he was. But the deacons had filled it up. They filled up the tank. And I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Down he went, and the water just splashed all over the place, down the front row. And dear Willie stood up and said, Amen! And everybody in the audience started to clap, Hallelujah! And that place was filled with laughter, but it was filled with the Holy Spirit of God as well on that Lord's Day morning. And may I say as a postscript, there were many who said, Paul, I may not want to be baptized by immersion, but I think I'm ready to be baptized. I need to give evidence. I need to show the sign that I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Perhaps there are those here who may want to speak to Taya or to Pastor Randy about the importance and that you'd like to be baptized as well. God invites us to be God bearers. Signs. Oh, what's a soggy carpet in a Mennonite church? I left a few months after that. No, I didn't really. But listen, dear friends, before I close, what a special day it would be for you who have heard this gospel message to respond and say, I need to experience that transformation. I need to experience that infilling of the Spirit of God in my life. We'd love to chat with you about that. What a special day it is to live with God's presence in our lives. The truth that we, like Mary, are God bearers. May it be so in each of our lives. Amen.
Thank you for that beautiful message, Paul. Please join us as we respond and sing Joy to the World. Stand, please. We'll sing the first two verses, and then we'll have the benediction and sing the next two.
Sing, and heaven, and heaven, and nature.
Please be seated. Just a gentle reminder that as we do leave the auditorium, we leave according to the usher's directions, my right side, row by row, and then the left side, row by row. Let us pray. Creator God, even as our creation story reminds us, let us make humankind in our image, in our likeness. We see the embedded presence of the Holy Trinity to the Father, whom we witness as our Creator, to the Son of God, yes, the eternal Christ, who upholds all things and ushered in our eternal salvation, and to the Holy Spirit of God, who imprints the divine in us, we proclaim, Hallelujah, all praise to our God. Thanks be to God. As we leave this place, may it be with the joy of the Lord and the delight in knowing we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit of God as we go in peace. Amen.